What's with the purple cube and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Latest in Tech News Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. If you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Some of you in here are already sharing your thoughts about staying up all night, so that's been an interesting conversation to say the least. If you're listening to the podcast, welcome. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so that you can get the latest episodes on your smartphone. But you really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. And if you're watching a live show, hey, be sure to click that follow button if you haven't already. We are also on Twitter at technewsgadget, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, both during or after the show. I made sure to check with Octavius. He says he's watching Twitter a little bit. He says he's a little bit more involved watching the chat room today. So for those of you in the chat room, he's keeping an eye on things, which is good, which is good. He's happy he has stuff to do. For those of you who don't know him, Octavius is my pet octopus. He does all the stuff behind the scenes, and when he's happy, he's blue, and when he's mad and upset, he's purple. Don't judge, okay? He's like, I'm an octopus, you know, deal with it. So, all right. So now that we have the intro segment out of the way, let's get on over to the fun stuff that I have lined up for today. But before we can get to today's news topics, we have to take a step back. So, being that today is August 27th, 2018, let's step back in history, shall we? On this day, in 1962, NASA launched a Mariner 2 unmanned space mission to Venus. Also in 1989, the first direct-to-home TV satellite launched from Cape Canaveral. Marco Polo 1 delivered the British Satellite Broadcasting Service to homes in the UK. Also in 2003, Fairbanks, Alaska got the world's biggest UPS battery backup. The city hooked up to the world's largest storage battery, built to provide an uninterrupted power supply of 40 megawatts, and it contained 13,760 cells, covering more than 10,000 square feet. It was reported that in the first 2 years of operation, the battery system prevented at least 81 power failures. Really, all the batteries could hold was a couple minutes of charge for the entire city, which was enough for the city's backup diesel generators to kick in and be able to power stuff. So, yeah, now you know what 10,000 square feet of batteries does. Not much, but it does. So, moving on to some tech news that you might not know about, or tech facts. Take it as you will. Did you know that in the year 2000, the FIFA 2001 video game used scratch and sniff technology on their discs? If you scratched it, it had the scent of a football stadium turf on a disc. As you can see, it didn't go well over. But, it was an idea, be that as it may. Also, did you know that Apple has a no-smoking ban regarding their computers, which means if you smoke while using an Apple computer, well, you just voided the warranty. I can't say as much for the iPhone and iPads that you guys have, but I think it's just for computers. Also, did you know that technophobia is a fear of technology? Yes, fear of technology is real. I'm still dealing with people at work who keep telling me, oh, the world's going to get overrun by robots and the robot AI systems are going to rule the world and tell us what to do. I don't know, man. I think only the robots are as smart as the people make them to be, and they're kind of dumb. So, also, did you know that there are Braille accessories for smartphones? Yes. Finally, almost half of the world's population has never made a phone call. If you say, what? We don't do that no more. We text message and Facebook message and Snapchat each other. Yeah, well, that's just the way things are nowadays. That's technology for you. So, let's head on over to the tech news that we have for today, shall we? First up, Microsoft announces All Access, a sweet Xbox financing plan with a not-so-sweet catch. Just a few days ago, we were hearing rumors about a service called Xbox All Access, which would allow users to rent an Xbox One console for a monthly fee, getting access to the console itself, as well as Xbox Online services. Today, we learned it's very real via a Microsoft blog post the company put up and then swiftly deleted, but it's since moved the information to a new page on the main site. So all of the details reported earlier this month appear to be correct. For a monthly fee paid over the course of 2 years, you can essentially rent an Xbox One with access to Game Pass and Xbox Live. The prices are $22 a month for a One S and $35 a month for a One X. After the 2 year period, you own the console outright. There is one unknown caveat. To get the console, you have to go to an actual Microsoft store, of which there are precious few. So, if you live in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Idaho, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Vermont, West Virginia, or Wyoming, you're out of luck. Still, it's a good way of lowering the barrier of entry into console gaming. Asking price of a console can be a major deterrent for those who don't have a couple hundred dollars laying around to drop on the system, but letting users spread the price across 2 years could be one way of getting a more frugal audience on board. Also, the author suspects that this will be a much-needed benefit to Microsoft as it is to consumers. Given the company is working on its next-gen console codenamed Scarlet, this is a way of making sure its current console get as much attention as possible before it has to shift focus to the new baby. And goodness knows the Xbox One could use the help. You see, well, the PS4's kind of been knocking it out of the park in terms of sales. Microsoft is currently no longer releasing sales numbers, but an EA executive let it slip earlier this year that, assuming Sony's own numbers are correct, only about half as many Xbox Ones have been sold as PS4s. And while the Nintendo Switch hasn't been on the market nearly as long, its sales are also looking pretty zippy compared with the One. So, well, call me a jaded cynic, but this looks like a last-ditch effort to get people on the Xbox One train before Microsoft has to start building hype around its new console. Might sound counterintuitive, but Microsoft intends to produce more faithful fans with this deal who will be early adopters of Project Scarlet whenever it eventually comes out. Moving on, first Apple computer goes up for auction and is expected to fetch more than $300,000. And we got a photo up here of, man, an ancient computer. Look at that. Look at the keyboard and the key. Oh, man. For those of you listening on the audio version of the podcast, you're totally missing out. You should totally become a patron over at patreon.com/technewsgadget. There you get access to all the videos, both current and past and future. But I'm also working on something that might sweeten the deal, so stay tuned to this podcast for more information. For those of you watching the live show, you're getting a treat right now. That live show is over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. If you ever wanted to own a piece of Apple computer history, now is your chance, provided you have a spare $300,000 lying around. A fully functional Apple One computer, just one of 60 believed to still exist, is going up for auction next month. Just 200 were originally produced by Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs in 76 and 77, and they were sold at the Byte Shop computer store in Mountain View, California. A pair sold about 175 of them in total, but only 60 are believed to remain in circulation. The one that goes up for auction next month is special because it's been restored to working order. This Apple I computer was restored to its original operational state in June 2018 by Apple I expert Corey Cohen. How is he I'm kind of wondering, he's like, yeah, I'm an Apple I expert, I could fix an Apple I. Yeah, well, to be fair, it is kind of difficult to fix an old ancient computer from the 70s, but he did it. He did it. It's functional. It works. And he provided a video of it running and functioning upon request, according to the auction website RR Auction Claims. So, like, it's all there. All there. He's even got the stamp. Apple Computer 1, Palo Alto, California, copyright 1976. Pre-bidding for the rare computer starts on September 13th and continues on a live auction, which begins on September 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern. As the Associated Press points out, the first Apple computer was sold for just $666, or about, well, $2,950 adjusted for inflation. But if you want to own this particular computer, well, you're going to have to drop some dough. Moving on, YouTube is making it very easy to see how much time you spend watching videos. In keeping with Google's push into digital well-being, YouTube is continuing to roll out more tools that give a user a clear view of their usage habits. When users open their account menu, they'll now see an updated profile that shows the amount of time they viewed videos that day, the previous day, and over the last week. Our goal is to provide a better understanding of time spent on YouTube so you can make informed decisions about how you want YouTube to best fit into your life, the company wrote in its latest blog post. YouTube pulls these stats from your watch history, so if you've got that option disabled for privacy reasons, it's not entirely clear if you get the usage breakdown or not, but they've asked YouTube for clarification. Hopefully the service is at least smart enough to know when you're watching something and be able to calculate that time. YouTube Music and YouTube TV do not count toward the time watched profile. The new, more thorough user profile comes in addition to other recent features YouTube has rolled out to help its users better understand their tech usage, focus on what matters most, and disconnect when needed. Let's see. Service already has added optional reminders to take a break during extended viewing habits. You can also choose to streamline all of your usual YouTube notifications into a condensed one-a-day digest that pings your device at a time of your choosing. By default, YouTube now silences notifications so they won't cause sounds or phone vibrations between the hours of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. Oh, I'm so glad, because I'm not up during that time binge-watching on YouTube. But I could be. I could. Doesn't know, but I don't need it notifying my phone, okay? You can opt to disable this or adjust the quiet notification hours to your own schedule. YouTube joins other tech giants, including parent company Google, Apple, Facebook, and Instagram, in adding greater detail and transparency about the minutes and hours that people spend using their apps daily. As always, acting on the information is up to you, but at least it's more accessible than it was before. Now moving on to tech news that I know everybody's all interested about. Apparently, what kind of notification button is that? Apparently that's how Skype sounds now. Anyways, Fortnite Purple Cube appears on a map after a mysterious lightning strikes. And of course, Epic is at it again. This came up during the Summer Skirmish series where Dr. Lupo Ninja and everybody else were dropping in on the latest skirmish going on when there was a prolonged lightning strike striking an area, and after this lightning strike, a mysterious purple cube appeared. Now, over this weekend, this might be old news already, people have been trying to figure out what's going on, what does this do, what does it not do, testing it out to its limits. It's actually moving as well. Every day it seems to move a little bit more. Let's unpack. This all happened while popular Fortnite streamer Ninja was in the middle of broadcasting from the Fortnite Summer Skirmish series. As he was farming cacti in the video above, and I'll have a link to this and all the other show notes, this and all the other articles mentioned today in the show notes over at technewsgadget.net, he suddenly saw a continuous stream of lightning hitting the mountain in front of him. Then something unexpected happened. A giant purple cube appeared on the mountain, and the crack that's been in the sky since the end of season 4 mysteriously disappeared. And here's a closer look at the cube's appearance from a cinematic point of view from Loot Lake BR on Twitter. Play this video right now and see if we can. Guys. Oh, why is it still loading? There you go. Huh. Interesting indeed. According to players who have interacted with the purple cube since its appearance, if you hit it with a pickaxe, It bounces you away from the cube and incurs damage. If you shoot it with a gun, you'll be struck by lightning and potentially killed. But when you bump into the cube, it bounces you away, and you slowly generate shields like the effects from a slurp juice. So what does this all mean? Epic hasn't said anything yet, so your guess is as good as ours, but we'll be watching what happens over the weekend and in the future to see what other surprises Fortnite has in store. So, I actually have done a little bit more research on this, and there's been a little bit more information that's developed over the past couple of days, aka this past weekend. It's Monday, in case you guys didn't know. And that is, apparently this cube has been moving a little bit each and every single day. A user on, a YouTuber made a YouTube video in which he hypothesized if it keeps moving at this current, rate that it's moving, that by the time this season ends, it will be dead center. This purple cube will be dead center in the middle of the map. Not sure if it can climb up mountains or not. Not really sure what it can do, but it is rolling and moving. Seems to be in a very predictable pattern. Just rumors and speculation so far. Your guess is as good as ours, but what suggestions do you have? Be sure to let us know during the live chat or via Twitter at TechNewsGadget. I, for one, am kind of excited. I don't know. The Epic Games is doing a really good job teasing whatever this content is that they've been teasing so far. Matter of fact, with this new map update, when the new patch hit, they added Tomato Temple. And with it, they added a very funny emote, one of which I actually paid a little bit of money for because I really wanted the emote. It was funny. It was of this guy holding a tomato, throwing it up in the air, and watching it splat on his face. Quite entertaining and quite funny, but I wanted to because it was entertaining. So what does this mean? I don't know. We'll see. We're open to your suggestion. So moving on to the final article of today. This comes to us from pushsquare.com. It's a review about Donut Country. Donut County? Yeah, Donut County. This is a very interesting game and a little bit goofy, so hold on to your seats. Let's jump into this article, and then you guys can watch videos for yourself and see if this is something that you'll like or not. How many developers can say their game was inspired by a tweet from a parody Twitter account? Donut County's central premise of controlling a hole in the ground and swallowing up objects is wonderfully novel and has resulted in a game that's more entertaining than you'd think. In the best possible way, it's one of the silliest games on PlayStation 4, wrapping a truly daft story around a mechanic that's a pleasure to toy around with. The story is this. A selfish raccoon named BK has inadvertently set the entire Donut County and its residents down a gigantic hole in the ground. Instead of delivering donuts from his shop, he's been sending holes, hoovering up all that he can to level up the app on his tablet to earn enough money for a quadcopter drone. Oh, Toadie was daft. Levels are the flashbacks of each character recalling how they came to be, hundreds of feet below the surface. Aside from a few instances of BK and his friends texting each other, the game consists of moving a hole around each environment in order to engulf everything in sight. Similar to Kanotari Damacy, the hole grows as you feed it, allowing you to quickly move from grass and coffee cups to entire buildings. While this alone might not sound particularly enthralling, it's surprisingly satisfying to send a wide range of paraphernalia tumbling into oblivion. Almost immediately, the game will also start throwing in some basic puzzles, giving you something to think about other than simply devouring all and sundry. An early example is swallowing a kiln to set the hole alight and then using the hot air balloon to send... or the hot air to send a balloon into the sky. Combining specific items within the hole leads to some rather amusing solutions. A little further in, you'll also unlock the ability to catapult certain things back out of the hole, either to solve yet more conundrums or to cause some extra damage to the scene. While puzzles throughout the game are extremely simple, these extra wrinkles in the levels are fun additions to help break up the gameplay. You complete a level, you'll be able to view the Trashopedia, a screen that shows you each item you've consumed, along with a description courtesy of BK. They're really not worth going through, as there are some cracking lines to be found, much like the script in general. The irreverent tone allows for some great exchanges between a handful of characters, and the visual also helps sell the whimsical vibe, opting for a low-poly look and black colors. It's all rather lovable, but it's a shame there isn't more to it. Game wraps up nicely, but it's all over within a few hours, and beyond finding a couple of secrets and completing a trophy list, there's little reason to return. We also can't help but feel that more could have been done with the core mechanic. Solutions to puzzles are rather straightforward, and a few more levels or more ways to interact with the world would have helped to flesh it out a little bit more. In conclusion, much like the sugary treats in its name, Donut County is sweet, satisfying, and you wish there were more when you're done. It's a little jovial adventure that has some great ideas, moving a hole around, making objects fall, and it's surprisingly addictive and entertaining. Serving as a bite-sized snack between bigger titles is definitely hits the spot, but those looking for a little more filling experience may be left a little hungry. Ha ha ha, I see what you guys did there, but they gave it a good rating, 7 out of 10. So, if you guys are interested, this is available on PlayStation. It's an adventure puzzle game with one player currently queued up. They don't have a multiplayer option, but it's on PlayStation 4. Just came out. You guys want to have fun? Fire away. I just figured I'd include this because this is quite an entertaining article. So I think that wraps up all of the news that we have for today. Matter of fact, guys, just want to let you know, if we missed anything that you want to be notified on, or there's a certain game or gadget that you want to be updated on regularly, be sure to let us know, either during the live show right now that we're having by typing it into the chat box, or sending us a message on Twitter. We are at Tech News Gadget. Just say, hey, we want you guys to cover this, that, or the other thing, and we'll be sure to keep that eye out for you, because we want to give you guys the news that matters to you so that you're up to date on the latest in the technology world. That's all for this episode of the Latest in Tech News Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This show is a production of Tech News Gadget. For the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.